turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. The setting of Exodus chapter 12 is the land of Goshen, which was in northern Egypt. Abraham's descendants have, by the time we get to Exodus 12, have been living there now for around 400 years. We learn from Exodus chapter 1 and verse 5 that when they went to Egypt, they were a family of 70. But now, some 400 years later, they are a nation of several million. Due to the population explosion of these Hebrews, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, began to feel threatened by them. So he makes them slaves. He forces them into inhumane labor. And this Egyptian bondage, of course, is a picture of the bondage of a sinner in sin. As time passes, the brutal taskmasters of Pharaoh are more than these Hebrews or Israelites can bear. And finally, in their misery and despair, they cry out to God to deliver them. And God declares in Exodus 3 and verse 8 that it was His purpose to deliver these Hebrews. The Egyptians had oppressed the Hebrews, and God would send a succession of terrible judgments upon Pharaoh and upon the land of Egypt. Keep in mind that Israel, the Israelites, are living in the land of Egypt. They're in Goshen. But these judgments, of course, are known as the 10 plagues. The first one would be the waters of the Nile would be turned into blood. The second plague, and I believe these happen concurrently, frogs covered the land and entered into the homes of the Egyptians. The third plague, we see lice were made to attack their persons. The fourth plague, we see swarms of flies invaded the houses of the Egyptians and covered the ground. The fifth plague, a grievous disease smote the cattle. The sixth plague, boils and sores were sent upon man and animal. And in the seventh plague, of course, there was thunder and hail, which added to the terror of all these others. The eighth plague, the locust consumed all the vegetation. The ninth plague, there was a thick darkness which could actually be felt, and that spread over the land for 3 days. And the tenth plague would be the firstborn of man and beast would be slain. In Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 through 7, this tenth plague is announced. So the other nine plagues have taken place. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt." Keep in mind, Israel is in Egypt. "All that are in the land of Egypt," speaking of the firstborn, "shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill and all the firstborn of beast." So this tenth plague is announced. The death of all the firstborn would come about midnight. Exodus chapter 12 records this tenth plague and how that the Lord put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. We'd like to read Exodus 12, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll read verses 12 and 13, and then verse 23. First of all, verses 1 through 7, "And the Lord," this is God's instruction to the Israelites through Moses concerning this tenth plague that was coming. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months." This was an event that would change the calendar. "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And when they shall take, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Verse 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you." Now again, these verses record the Lord's instruction to Moses and to Aaron. They, of course, had the responsibility of relaying the instruction to the people. And the instruction is concerning this tenth plague, the death of the firstborn. The Israelites were to take a lamb. Not just any lamb. It was to be a lamb without blemish. It was to be a male lamb of the first year. And they were to kill it in the evening. And they were to take the blood of that lamb and strike it on the two side posts and an upper door post of the houses. And the promise in verse 13 is, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And in verse 23, that promise is repeated. In verse 29 and 30, we see it is recorded that this plague took place. Notice verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. I want to speak this morning on when God sees the blood of the Lamb applied. When God sees the blood of the Lamb applied. First of all, we want to go to this Passover night and see what occurred. As you go to that night, there was the condemnation of God. It is announced in chapter 11 and verse 5, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. In chapter 12 and verse 12, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. As we read there in chapter 12, we see from the palace of the king to the hut of the impoverished, the firstborn would die. There was no distinction. There was no distinction made between rich and poor, between the known and the unknown. There was no distinction made between the educated and the uneducated. There was no distinction made between the gifted and the ungifted. There was no distinction made between the moral and the immoral, or between the honorable and the dishonorable. It simply reads, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Everyone in Egypt was in danger of this terrible, terrible plague. All the land was under the curse and under the condemnation that would come from God. And God's judgment would just hovering over Egypt like a heavy, dark cloud. Everyone in the land of Egypt was under the threat of God's judgment. Notice this judgment would be certain. All the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die. It doesn't say that they will become sick and almost die. It says they shall die. Doesn't mention anything about them becoming sick. He says, I will smite all the firstborn. I will. This was a certainty. In all the land of Egypt. God's judgment was coming. This was certain. No power, no force, no wisdom, no cunning of man, no amount of money could prevent this judgment from coming. It was certain. Again, I want to remind you today, the midnight hour of God's judgment is approaching. It's getting closer and closer. And midnight is coming for every lost soul. God had a way of escape. Again, Egypt is under this impending wrath of God. But there was a deliverance. A deliverance not planned by Moses, not planned by Aaron, not planned by anyone but God Himself. There was a God-provided way of escape from this impending wrath of God. And there still is today. And this escape involved a lamb. Who would have thunk? It involved a lamb as a death substitute. God's instruction, verse 2, was for every man on the 10th day of the month to select for his household a lamb. And in verse 5, this lamb must be a male of the first year, and it must be without blemish. That simply means the lamb could not be broken in any way. The lamb could not be blind, bruised, maimed, or diseased in any way. And he was to take this God-appointed lamb in verse 6, and on the 14th day of the month, he was to bring it to the doorstep of his house. And when the evening came, he was to kill that lamb. And from verse 7 and verse 22, he was to catch the blood of that lamb in a basin. Now, in the Old Testament days, the basin would be outside on the doorstep. Again, for the purpose of washing feet. But he was to take the blood of that lamb, and he was to catch it in this basin. And then he was to take a bunch of hyssop, and his branches from this tree. And he was to dip these branches in the blood that is in the basin. And he is to apply the blood on the sides of the doorposts. He is to apply the blood above the doorpost of his house. And the promise was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this plague shall not enter into your house. So let's go to that 14th day of that month in the evening. The Israelite would take the lamb. He would put his hand upon the lamb, one of his hands. He would then raise the knife to slay the innocent lamb. And he would plunge that knife into the lamb. And then he would take the blood of that slain lamb, caught in the basin, and would apply it to the doorpost of his house. When the Israelite did that, what he was saying was this: I cannot atone for my sins. I cannot have deliverance from God's impending judgment. I cannot have deliverance from the condemnation of God. And I cannot be accepted of God apart from this Lamb. I deserve to die as this Lamb. But this Lamb is God's appointed substitute for me. And when that Israelite took that knife and slew that lamb and applied that blood on the doorpost, what he was saying in his heart was this: I accept and I bow to God's plan of deliverance from condemnation. And I identify myself with this Lamb. I fully acknowledge the sufferings of this Lamb as my own. And I deserve to die as this Lamb. Applying that blood to the doorpost of his house, he is saying, I deserve that death enter into my house. But I am trusting in the shed blood of this Lamb. Everyone here is trusting in something. Everyone. Even if you're here and don't even believe God, you're still trusting in something. Everyone that did this in Exodus chapter 12 concerning this Lamb was putting their trust in what God said concerning the Lamb. And again in verse 13, God declared, and the blood shall be to you for a token. That blood on the doorpost shall be a sign. It should be an indication. It should be a mark. It is a pledge. It is a token. So the Lamb has been slain. The blood has been applied. Notice verse 29. It came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. There's a house over here, and there's no blood. And the firstborn in that house died. There's another house over here. There's no blood. And the firstborn in that house died. And there's a house over here. And there's no blood. And the firstborn in that house died. And oh, what a night of sorrow. Can you imagine? What a night of misery. In agony, in torment. But over here, there's a house, and there's blood all over the doorpost. And that blood was a sign. That blood was an indication, a mark, a pledge of God's love. It was an indication that someone has already died there, and that God had fully accepted the death, that death, for the death of all of those in that house. And the condemnation of God passed over that house. The wrath of God was pacified by the blood of the Lamb. The religious world would have us to believe today that God is not a God of wrath. You cannot believe, you cannot read this book without seeing that God is a God of wrath. And without seeing that the midnight hour is coming. It's coming. And there's only one thing that can appease the wrath of God. And that's the blood of the Lamb. But think about when that house with the blood was passed over. Oh, the joy that filled that house. The humility that filled that house. Their next door neighbor perhaps didn't have blood on the doorpost. And their firstborn died. And this individual where the wrath of God passed over, they know, my firstborn deserved to die as much as theirs. What's the difference? The blood of the Lamb is the difference. And it's still the difference. May we never forget that. And all the praise and the thanksgiving that filled those houses that were marked by the blood. At midnight, death swept through Egypt, but some were passed over. Some were spared the terrible plague. And the difference had nothing to do with the location of the house. The difference had nothing to do with the inhabitants of the house. Nothing. The difference was the blood of the God-appointed Lamb. That brings us to the fulfillment of all of this. If we were to just stop here, some might go from here and saying that the pastor said we need to go home and kill a lamb. But this is fulfilled in the Word of God. The primary feature of the Passover night was that God-appointed lamb. That's the primary feature. And such is the central theme and figure of the Word of God. This Lamb. This Lamb. We've taught on this before, but in Genesis chapter 4, we're not going to turn there. We see this doctrine of the Lamb all through the Word of God. In Genesis 4, we're taught the necessity of the Lamb. In Genesis chapter 22, we read of Abraham and Isaac. And we read that God provided a lamb. In our text, we're told of the slaying of the lamb. Throughout the book of Leviticus, we're told of the purity of the lamb. And in Isaiah 53, in verse 7, the Lamb is identified as a person. It says there, He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He, In John chapter 1, this Lamb who is a person is identified. John 1 verse 29, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And he said the same thing in verse 36. Verse 36, we read, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. That is the one that the Old Testament is all about. There he is! Who is the Lamb of God? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. There are many pictures in type throughout the Old Testament of the sacrificial work of Christ. And unmistakably, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of Exodus chapter 12. That was the Passover night. We read in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Christ, our Passover. Oh, what a wonderful word, Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That is in wrath. And Christ is our Passover sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We read in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19 of the precious blood of Christ. Remember that lamb in Exodus chapter 12 had to be without blemish and without spot. We read here in 1 Peter 1 verse 19, the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is that lamb. He is that lamb. So let's make application. We want to make application to both the unsaved and the saved concerning that Passover night and that Jesus Christ is the Passover Lamb. First of all, to the unsaved. Like those in Egypt that night, right now, at this very moment, I don't care how good you feel. Right now, at this very moment, you are under the just condemnation of God. You say, well, why? Why? Because you are a guilty sinner before God. And sin is the most loathsome, the most vile, the most filthy, the most wicked, the most shameful, the most despicable thing in all the universe. And you are a guilty sinner before God. Being a guilty sinner before God, you are cursed. You're under the curse of God. Galatians 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in this book. If you are here and you have not followed every single word of this book, you're under the curse. The curse of God. The sentence upon the guilty sinner is this: cursed. And that speaks of something. Remember in Exodus 12, we read about the cry that went through Egypt that night. But this curse speaks of something far more horrific than what took place that night. Something far, far more tragic. This is the eternal misery, pain, and suffering that's coming for the unsaved sinner. And there isn't anything more frightful than omnipotence pronouncing a curse upon man. Cursed, doomed, damned. And in Exodus 12 and verse 29, and at midnight the Lord smote. Unsaved sinner, the midnight hour is coming. At midnight, God's judgment came. In the midnight hour, you are guilty. You are guilty before God. And the midnight hour is coming to your house. It's coming. It doesn't matter who lives in that house. It doesn't matter where the house is located. All that matters is the blood of that lamb. But the midnight hour is coming. I pray that that would ring in your ears. Judgment. Judgment is coming for the unsaved sinner. That makes your situation quite urgent. That makes your situation quite present and very pressing. If you're here and unsaved, you're fully deserving of the almighty wrath of God. But listen, God has a way of escape for you. Praise be to God. There is a way to be set free. There is a way to be released and spared from the just condemnation of God that you deserve. There is a way. And it's not a way of your doing. It's not a way of my doing. It's not a way of this church's doing. It's a way of God's doing. And it is found in those words in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The midnight hour of God's condemnation is fast approaching. And your only hope, your only way of escape, is God's provided Lamb, Jesus Christ, sacrificed in your stead. Here's the simple truth. You have sinned. You have sinned. You have innumerable sins, which makes you a guilty sinner. You have innumerable sins. So we must ask you today, where are your sins? Where are your sins? Everyone here has sins. And our sins have to be somewhere. They exist. They have to be somewhere. I want you to know that your sin in all its filth, in all its vileness, is either upon yourself, and if so, the midnight hour is approaching when God will unleash His almighty wrath upon you and your sin. It's either upon you or it is under the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It's in one of two places. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Unsaved sinner, I cannot stress it enough. The midnight hour of God's wrath is approaching. But hear those words. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The blood of Jesus Christ is your only hope. It's your only hope. I must ask you, in what are you trusting for God's condemnation to bypass you? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting that you try to do good, your works? Are you trusting in your upbringing? Mom and Dad were fine Christian people and they knew the Lord. That's not going to spare you. Trusting in your religion? Well, I went to Home Baptist Church every Sunday. That won't save your soul. If you're trusting anything other than the shed blood of God's provided Lamb, Jesus Christ, on your behalf and in your stead, when the midnight hour comes, and it's coming, your end will be the same as the rich man, Luke 16, verse 23, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. As terrible as that night was, when untold firstborns, untold number, innumerable number, died that night, and the agony and the misery that went through Egypt that night is nothing compared to, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. Your only escape is Jesus Christ. Your heart stops beating. And your sins are not under the blood of Jesus Christ, and in hell you will lift up your eyes. And that hour is coming. It's coming. Well, I try not to think about it. You may never think about it, but it's still coming. To the saved, I praise the Lord that I've been redeemed. By that I mean I've been vindicated. I've been absolved from the penalty that's due my sins. That is, my sins have been atoned for. Restitution has been made. We read in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." If that were so, then my redemption would be as unreliable as those things, and it could be altered. But notice verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 1. We've already made reference to it. "But with the precious blood, I have not been redeemed with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world for me." I am redeemed. I have been vindicated. I am absolved. Restitution has been made with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For us that are saved, the condemnation that is due our sins has been pacified by the blood of Jesus Christ on our behalf and in our stead, and all the joy that ought to fill our souls. When we read, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you." You know what all this means? It means that when God sees me, He does not see Dan Gordon in his sins. He does not see the wrath that Dan Gordon deserves. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ, and that wrath passes over me. Oh, the joy that ought to fill our hearts. When I see the blood, think of what God sees. When He sees the blood, He sees the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the atoning efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the preserving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the pacifying power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the overcoming power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the condemning wrath that I deserve passes by. Why? All because of the blood of that Lamb, Jesus Christ. Again, that blood is a token. When God sees the blood, He sees one that has been redeemed. Ephesians 1 verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." When He looks at me and He sees the blood, He sees one who has been justified. Romans, what that means is declared not guilty. And we read in Romans 5 and verse 9 that we are justified by His blood. When He looks at me, He sees the blood. He sees one that has been washed. Revelation 1 and verse 5, "Unto Him that washed us from our sins in His own blood." When he sees the blood, he sees one that has been made nigh. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, we have been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. When he sees the blood, he sees one who has been sanctified. Hebrews 13 verse 22, sanctified by the blood, sanctify the people with his own blood. When he sees the blood, he sees one who has been brought to peace with God. Colossians 1 verse 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He sees one who's been cleansed. 1 John 1 and verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He sees one who is a purchased possession. For ye are bought with a price. Oh, praise God that he sees the blood. It wasn't shed in vain. And one glorious day, we're going to join in with the saints in heaven in song. Revelation 5 and verse 9, thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Can you imagine singing that song to the Lord? But in the meantime, you and I that have been redeemed by the blood, oh, how we ought to want to serve Him. How we ought to want to live for Him. May we never forget this. We will always be deserving of the condemnation of God. You and I that are saved, we are still deserving of the condemnation of God. Just like those in the blood-marked house, they are just as deserving as their next-door neighbor who had no blood. We're just as deserving of hell as anyone in the universe. But the difference is that blood. The blood of Jesus Christ was voluntarily shed in my behalf, my stead. And when God sees the blood, what I deserve passes over. That truth should not leave you and I that are saved unfeeling and detached. But rather it ought to fill us with humility every single day. Every day I get up, I deserve the condemnation of God. But every day, God looks down and He sees that blood. Sees the blood. All the love that ought to fill our hearts. The zeal, the determination, the passion for Him doesn't make us any less deserving of His wrath. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful today that when God looks down upon His children, He sees the blood. We can talk about, oh, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they're faithful. They're deserving of the condemnation and the almighty wrath of God. And God looks upon them and sees the blood. You and I ought to be thankful that God doesn't just look down and see our faithfulness. Because that will not spare you. Because your faithfulness, you have as much unfaithfulness, if not more, than you do faithfulness. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let us never, ever, ever, ever forget we are deserving. You and I that are saved, we are deserving of the wrath of God. But that blood has been shed. It's been applied to our account. And we've been set free. If you're here today, and you've never had a saving experience of Jesus Christ, and you'll know when it happens, you are condemned. You are guilty before God. And my friend, the midnight hour is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It may come today, but it's coming. And your sins have to be somewhere. They're either upon you, and if they are, you have no hope when you leave this life, or they're under the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to trust. Lay aside all your other trust and put all your trust and all your faith for your eternity in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's your only hope. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.